Brilliant. So we're reading from Hebrews, as you can see, 4:14, 5 to 10, and page 1204, if you've got a blue Bible.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes his honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And, once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek.
Well, good evening, everyone. Let me add my welcome to that of Dan. Great to have you here with us, particularly if you're a visitor. And let me just ask you, I wonder what you think of politicians. What do you think of politicians? It's just, there are just 4 days to go until the general election, and I guess we've been bombarded with debates and manifestos and speeches and promises and claims and counterclaims, and on it goes. What do you think about your Member of Parliament? I mean, it's you they're there to serve in Parliament, isn't it? Do they understand you? Do they really care about you? Do they really represent you? Are they just after your vote so they have some power? I don't want to be cynical, but politicians tell us they can fix the problems in our society. But can they? They say they can, but can they? The bottom line is that our real problems are not finally about laws and policies and governance. Our real problems stem from our own human nature. Someone's put it so well. They said, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Our ingrained self-centeredness. And no politician can do anything to change our hearts. Now, God's ancient people, the Jews, about which this letter we read a bit of was written, the Jews had representatives, not politicians. They called them priests. And they were men who were supposed to represent the people, not in any parliament, but represent the people before God himself. So let me just ask you, what about you? Do you need someone to represent you before God? Or maybe you don't think about God too much. Maybe you say, well, if there is a God, I can't imagine he understands what it's like to be a human being like me sitting up there in heaven. What would he know about me? And if he did know about me, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't want anything to do with me. I'm just not the religious type. Well, the part of the Bible we read this evening tells us that we do have someone to represent us before God. In verse 14, we read, we have a great high priest. And it's Jesus. So we may say, no one really understands me, but Jesus does. Jesus does. Not only is Jesus God, the one who made us, but Jesus became a man. We read, we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into this world, and he went through everything that you and I go through. We do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in every way, just like us. Now, I wonder, when you've been ill sometime, and you've gone to the doctor, has the doctor ever said to you, I know just how you feel? And you think, no, you don't. You're not the one who's ill. You don't know how I feel. I used to work as a hospital doctor. One of the things I used to do was endoscopy, putting a flexible telescope down the gullet into people's stomach and sort of tinkering around at the bottom. And it wasn't exactly a bundle of laughs. And then I had to have two endoscopies myself. And after that, I could say to my patients, I know what this is like. I know what you're going through. And it was true. So the writer here says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. No one understands me? No, Jesus understands you. Just like you and me, Jesus was born with 100,000 genes and 10 billion nerve cells and several miles of wiring and 8 meters of intestinal plumbing and 5 liters of blood and assorted biochemical engineering. Jesus was God become a human being. Do you struggle with selfishness? Do you struggle with greed? Or immorality, or dishonesty? We all do, I think. Well, so did Jesus. We just read he was tempted in every way, just as we are. So it's not as if God sitting up there in heaven, insulated from everything else, saying, well, gosh, goodness, I wonder what it might be like to be a human being. God knows. No one understands me? No, not true. Jesus understands you. Even if no one else does, Jesus does. Now, how reassuring is that? Listen, God is never going to find out something about you he didn't know already. God is never going to be surprised at anything you say. You're never going to hear God say, well, I would never have believed that of you. Just imagine with me, someone was able to put up a slide in the screen there, the big screen behind me, setting out some of the, what shall we say, less attractive features of your life. Things you've said, things you've done, even things you've thought, things that you are ashamed of, things that you bitterly regret. And some people round about you here might be shocked. Probably they would be shocked, wouldn't they? But not God. God wouldn't be shocked. God knows it all already. He's been here. You can't shock God or disillusion God about you. So we read here in verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. I wonder if you ever forget the password for a website and you get these wretched words up on your screen saying access denied. It happens to me all the time. You never find access denied when you come to Jesus. He's been a man. He knows the deal. He understands you. But I guess it's one thing to say, well, God understands. But does God care? Does he care? Sometimes it feels as if no one really cares about me. How do you know if someone cares about you? Well, it's what they do, isn't it? It's not just what they say. Words are cheap. It's what they do. Someone has said, the measure of love is what someone is prepared to give up for the loved one. Now, the priests in God's ancient people Israel used to offer sacrifices to God. So we read in chapter 5, verse 1 there, every high priest is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God to offer gifts and sacrifices. And here's the idea. The idea was that an animal was set aside to take the blame for people's wrongdoing and killed to pay for it, killed in their place. And look, it didn't work. It didn't really work. No animal can stand in for a man or a woman. No animal can take responsibility for us. It was just a picture. It was just a symbol. But the priests were appointed from a particular tribe to offer the sacrifices, but all along they were waiting for the real thing, the real priest, the real sacrifice. And then, 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus, sent him to be our priest. Down in verse 6, God said, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, if you want to know about Melchizedek, come back in a couple of weeks when we get to chapter 7. I'm not going to go into that tonight. But listen, to create the world, to create the cosmos, to set the planets in their courses, that cost God nothing at all. He just spoke the word and they came into being. But to deal with our rebellion against God, our inbuilt desire to live as if God just didn't exist, that cost God his son Jesus. Jesus had to leave the glory of heaven, had to become a man, had to be laughed at and spat on, and became our great high priest. No one really cares about me. No, Jesus really cares about you. Here's what we read in the New Testament. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus wasn't a self-appointed priest come to rescue us from the clutches of an angry God. God the Father sent Jesus because God loves you. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. For a number of years, my MP, the MP for Edgbaston here in Birmingham, she lived up in Nottingham. And that made me cross. What use is a representative at a distance? Maybe she didn't want to get her hands dirty. Maybe she didn't want to get too involved with her pesky constituents. Listen, Jesus did exactly the opposite. Jesus became one of us and lived here, right here amongst us. Now, I don't know how you'd define religion. Some people say religion is mankind's attempt to find God. And if that's right, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity isn't about us finding God. Christianity is all about God coming to find us. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Do you know what the most searched for phrase on Google is? It's, what is love? By a mile, that's the most searched for phrase in Google. And I don't know if the answers people find on the internet satisfy them. What is love? Well, the Bible has a definition of love. Here's the definition. This is love, says the Bible. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that brings us to the heart of things. No one understands me, you say. No one really cares for me. Maybe you say this too. No one can help me. No one can help me. I wonder if that's you. I wonder if that's how you feel. You know your life's, well, kind of messed up. And you know deep down that there's a God and that you need somehow to get right with him, but no one seems to be able to help you. Can I invite you to look at what Jesus has done, what Jesus has gone through for you? The priests of old, as we read, offered animal sacrifices and they didn't really work. They were just pictures of what Jesus was going to do. Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice. He was both the priest and the sacrifice. He didn't have to do that. But no one else could help us. So Jesus did it. Left to ourselves, we just want to shut God out of our lives. And we've missed the whole point of being alive if we do that. If nothing changes, when this life ends, God will give us what we wanted. We'll be without God for all eternity. That's what the Bible calls hell. And no one can help us except Jesus. Jesus stands in our place like a substitute going onto a football field and we come off. He lived a perfect life for us, the life we can never live. And he died a pretty horrible death, abandoned by God instead of us. That's what Jesus did to help us. Now look what it cost him. Verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Jesus pleaded and agonized and struggled. But at the end of the day, he did what only he could do. He died on the cross for you and for me. And now Jesus is risen from the dead, and his resurrection, his literal, historical, bodily resurrection, is at the very center of our Christian faith. Now he's our representative, our high priest in the courts of heaven. Diplomats and reporters sometimes talk about our man in Washington or our man in Tokyo. Well, for Christians, Jesus is our man in heaven. I read a while ago about a little boy who was frightened of the dark. And one evening it reached that, to him, terrifying time when his mother would turn off the lights in his room and say goodnight and leave him for the night. And he cried out for his mother to stay. And his mother was a Christian, and she reassured him. She said, God will be with you all through the night. And he said, but Mum, I need God with skin on, a real person. And I hope his mother explained to him that that's exactly what we have in Jesus. Not a philosophy, but a person. Not some shadowy spiritual being, but a flesh and blood man, God with skin on. Not a remote God, but a God who cares for us deeply. So what I want to say to you this evening is this. Jesus understands you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus can help you. If you'll let him, if you'll let him be your priest, if you'll let him be your representative in heaven. Now, if you'd like to know more about that, come and speak to me after the service. I'll be at the door there. Or speak to Dan, who's leading the service. Or speak to the person who invited you along this evening. And there's a table out in the foyer there with some parts of the Bible and literature. Pick any of it up. It's free. Or consider coming to join us on our course on Monday evenings where you can ask questions and discuss. Dan's going to tell you a little bit about these things in a moment. So I'm going to hand back to Dan. Thank you very much for listening.